Hey sports fans, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB to golf to the NBA and NHL playoffs. Get the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams, and you can get the latest odds, lines, including the latest matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. You know, here on the ML Sports Platter, I like to cover a wide range of topics. Even during your team's offseason, there's always a story to break, right? Including free agent signings, coaching changes, draft picks, and more. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you'll know I'm a proud Bonnie. St. Bonaventure University gives its students a solid foundation and has trained many journalists that you know and love from ESPN and other leading media organizations across the globe. Their online Master of Arts in Sports Journalism builds podcasting, interviewing, and research skills needed in a changing media landscape right now. Students learn how to follow high professional standards as they tell nuanced stories about the sports we love. You don't need writing or broadcasting experience to start the program, just simply a passion for the profession. There's no application fee or graduate exam scores to apply, and you can complete the program in less than 2 years. Yes, less than 2 years. Get in touch with an enrollment advisor today at sbujournalism.com to learn how you can become a sports journalist and a Bonnie. That's sbujournalism.com. SBUjournalism.com. Back here on the ML Sports Platter, it's all brought to you by Stanley Law Offices and Rosie's Corner. Make sure to subscribe to my YouTube page at ML Sports Platter. We bring in one of my favorites, one of the best in the business, Mike Vaccaro, New York Post, to chat some New York City sports and maybe at the end a little Bonaventure basketball. Maybe we'll just leave that right here. Absolutely. Mikey, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mike. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Baseball first, Yankees, Mets. What do you like most, least about each team right now?
Well, the Mets, I like their resilience. I mean, they were 0-5 and looked like the season was already teetering on the brink. And they've come back and they went over 500 for the first time last night, beating the Pirates. They've made this comeback. I mean, you know, since 0-5, they've gotten back to 9-8 by beating teams that are playing over 600 baseball. So it's not like they're beating up the dregs. I thought that's been pretty impressive. I mean, they've been behind in a lot of these games and they fight back. They've scored more eighth inning runs than anybody in baseball. So these are all things you got to like. You know, I like what Carlos Mendoza's message has been so far. You know, it's only 17 games in, so, you know, I'm not going to anoint him the next Davey Johnson or anything, but he's so far so good. Look, with the Yankees, I mean, it all comes down to, Aaron Judge really hasn't started yet, but once you have a situation where you got Juan Soto backed up by Aaron Judge day after day and they're both playing well, that's just a difficult situation for a team because you're always looking ahead in the lineup to when those guys are coming up again. And it feels like when those guys are hot that they come up 7-8 times a game each. So far they've had enough pitching. Certainly it's going to be a big issue how much pitching they're going to have until they get Gerrit Cole back, and then assuming that Cole is what Cole usually is, you know, going on from there. But they've hit their first kind of soft patch of the season, first three-game losing streak. That's inevitable. Everybody has them. But I think we've seen enough from them. Anthony Volpe is a whole different player this year, and that's really exciting because you look at him and look, I mean, it was, you know, I used to scold people last year about how unfair it is to compare him to Derek Jeter just because they play the same position and just because he's young like Jeter was when he came up. But the fact is that it's going to be an impossible and inevitable comparison. And the fact is, he compares well now. I mean, he won the Gold Glove last year, so his defense has never been in question. And now he's leveled a swing a bit. He's not striking out as much. He's getting on base all the time. And that's a really exciting element of this lineup because then, you know, especially now that Volpe is hitting leadoff, now you start the game with Volpe, Soto, Judge, and as well as Stanton playing lately him. That's a pretty rough quartet to be able to get through if those guys are all playing well. Of course, the idea is getting them all to play well together. Judge has been a little bit slow. Stanton, you just never know how he's going to hold up over the long season. But so far, I'm encouraged by what I see with the Yankees, too.
I feel like every time I get you on around this time and I say Jets, Giants, NFL draft, go, it always is, what do they need? Where should they go? Everything. Okay, hang up. But, you know, the Jets are in a different situation because they're still hoping that Rodgers can come back and give them something, right? But kind of give me, as we're a few days away from the actual draft, is there an idea of where these clubs may go early, mid, late? You know, will they trade? There are so many holes, obviously, on the Giants, the Daniel Jones thing. They committed to him money-wise. Where are we at with the two teams here in your neck of the woods for the NFL draft, Mike?
Well, the Giants, I think they're coming to a conclusion if they want to, if they're looking at the, you know, coming end of the Daniel Jones era. If that's true, they might go for a quarterback at six. I mean, JJ McCarthy's name you keep hearing that might still be available for them. They could also use one of the wide receivers who's going to be available, and there's a couple that are certainly going to be available for them to take when they go. So it'll be interesting to see there. For the Jets, they desperately, I won't say desperately because they've added a couple in free agency, but look, their biggest hole last year was offensive line. You can't ever have enough strength there. There's some questions. Will they go with that? Will they go with the kid from the tight end from Georgia, the tight end who's going to be hard to pass up, especially when you have another weapon to give Aaron Rodgers? We're hearing more and more lately is the possibility that they might make a trade or try and exchange position in this year's draft for multiple picks, including a second rounder, which they don't have in this year's draft.
New York Post, New York City Sports Insider, Mike Vaccaro, my buddy, of course, here, Bonagrad as well. Go get him on Twitter as he just puts out awesome work all the time, nypost.com. And you can get that plus subscription as well, I believe, for a lot of the extra content as well. I love when the Rangers, I know they've only won one cup since 1940, but they're an original six. It's the Mecca, the Garden, New York City, the whole thing. I love when they're in the playoffs. And you've also got the Islanders, who I know that sometimes they might put you to sleep, but they're in the playoffs too. And the Devils are kind of, they're out now, but rising with the Hughes brothers and all the rest. But you've got the Islanders and the Rangers in the postseason. How much of a threat are the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup? Do you think it is a possibility? That whole top of the line President's Trophy, you kind of sit there and go, yeah, but now what? You hit the reset button, and the Islanders are just kind of, they're playing with house money, in my opinion. What do you have, Rangers, Isles? And I know you feel the same way with the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's literally like eyes to the product, and you cannot ever blink.
Yeah, it's a nice little throwback to the 80s when the Rangers and the Islanders were in the playoffs every year, and they seemed to inevitably wind up running into each other at some point. Sadly, we're not going to get that, at least not until later on in the playoffs. Looked like we're careening toward maybe a 1-8, but we're not going to get that. But that's fine. Having them both in the playoffs is great. If they could both make something of a run, that'd be even better. Look, I think the Rangers, if they're not the favorites to win the Cup, they have to be certainly in the conversation. I mean, they're going to, they have home ice. They have looked really well for, all season, but certainly since the All-Star break, they've been really just unstoppable. They're relentless. Their special teams are just beyond belief. I mean, it's their power play has gotten to the point where it's automatic. They scored a shorty against the Islanders in a huge game over the weekend. They just have a huge advantage with their special teams, which is in the playoffs, as you know, Mike, is going to be just an advantage that you can't even calculate. They got a goalie capable of going and getting really hot. Obviously, that's a big deal. And they have so much firepower. But the crazy thing about the playoffs, we saw it last year with the Bruins. You get the number one seed in the conference. It doesn't matter until it matters until you lose that first game at home, and all of a sudden the whole season's on the line. And there's going to be a little bit of trepidation. But look, if you look at it objectively, you're trying to look at it from 30,000 feet. The Rangers are the best team in the league. They just are. Over the course of 82 games, that doesn't always translate to winning four short series, but. In this case, I do think they have the makeup to make a deep run. Whether that means getting to the finals, winning the finals, you have to have a lot of nice bounces go for you along the way also. But as far as the Islanders are concerned, look, I mean, there's no team hotter right now.
Yeah.
They knew 2 weeks ago that basically to get in the playoffs, they're going to have to win every day. And what have they done? They've won every day. They literally have gotten points in their last eight games and won seven of them. That's how you make a playoff push. If you can get 15 points out of eight games, that's a pretty good stretch at any part of the season. But certainly at the end, they're playing well. Look, they drew the Canes, which is kind of tough because the Canes, you know, beat them pretty handily last year. But even if it, you know, they even if you go back and you look at those games individually, every one of those games was a war. And you know, so the Islanders certainly can't feel like they're overwhelmed with this seed. Have to feel better about playing them than playing the Rangers. Just to cite one example. So you know, I think the Rangers are definitely going to make it to the next round. I think the Islanders have a puncher's chance for sure because, like I said, they're playing great and they're playing with a lot of confidence. And you know, I think the only question they have is which of their goalies they want to play on a given basis because both of them are playing so well.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm actually looking forward to that series because both teams come at the opponent so hard and they work it to death. Carolina's depth is one of the best in the league. And you look at the Rangers, goaltending, depth, your stars have to be better than the other ones, and the special teams. Those are the four things to win a cup. It's all there again for the Rangers. I actually think this is more of a complete team than a lot of the teams that, you know, Hank had, Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, they've got that firepower. You mentioned it. They're so fun to watch. Fox is up in every play. The defense is terrific. I really hope that they get to the Cup Finals. I'd love to see Madison Square Garden rocking until June. I got a couple of minutes with you. It was a wild, weird, in a way disappointing season for our Bonnies. Up and down, up and down, up and down we went, and then we had the craziness at the end as well. I guess I'll just leave it out to you. I mean, what's next, you know, and take it however you want. What's next for Mark Schmidt in this group? And, you know, the NIL and portal is what it is at this point. I don't think you change the recruiting philosophy. I think it takes a special thinking and a special player and a philosophy to go to Olean and play for that program and play for Mark. I don't have any worries about him ever getting players. It's just a matter of it coming together. What's next for our Bonnies?
I mean, I think once you accept what college basketball is now, Mike, which is year-to-year operation, you know, it's just the way it is. And, you know, a lot of things in some ways, you know, forgetting all the the specifics of NIL and transfer portal and what that's done to the sport at large, you know, essentially what schools like Bonaventure, schools in the middle are doing now is they're experiencing, ironically, what schools like Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, all those big time blue blood programs experienced for the last 15 years, which is when, you know, they recruit well, but so many of their best players are done after 1 year because they go to the NBA. You know, it's the same kind of thing now with mid-majors, only instead of going to the NBA, they're going to the Big East or they're going to the South, to the SEC. I mean, it's not necessarily enjoyable to invest in a guy like Chad Benning for a couple of years and then he's going to go move on. But, you know, similarly, look, I mean, if you're from Bonaventure, even before the transfer portal, Bonaventure, especially in the last 10 or 15 years under Schmidt, has really benefited from transfers. I mean, Mobley was a huge part of that NCAA team.
Yeah.
You know, and he did exactly what he was almost a precursor, you know, and Jalen Attaway was the same way. Only they did it the old school way, which is a transfer. They sat out a year and then they joined up, you know, with a higher profile team than they had previously played at. So look, I mean, this is not anything new to Bonaventure on that level. What's new is that I think people are more and more starting to realize, you know, it's probably not worth your time to invest a lot of your heart in a stud freshman or sophomore, because the way of the world is that they're probably going to move on. And you know what? Look, you know, if you're looking at it from a cold business standpoint, I mean, you know, if you were at Bonaventure as a sophomore, and, you know, Syracuse called and said, you know, we're going to give you a full ride your last 2 years and you're going to be in charge of the radio station, the TV station, you probably would have gone, right? I mean, it was a better opportunity for you. And you got to look at this in the same way for basketball players, just the way it is. You know, you can complain about it, you can whine about it, or you can move on. I think one of the good things about Schmidt is that he's clearly moved on. He's clearly invested. I mean, look, I know there was the brouhaha with the NIT at the end of the year. I think one of the things that they came to a conclusion, there were many things, and not all of them were justifiable, but the one thing I can justify, because I know St. John's did the same thing, is they said it's more important for our coaching staff to invest in actually getting next year's team as opposed to playing, you know, I won't say it's a worthless tournament, but it's certainly a secondary tournament, and invest our energy there. Now, I mean, you can argue whether that's the right decision or not, but it certainly reflects a mindset of understanding that this is the world we live in now, and you got to play by those rules.
I might have left WSBU for Newhouse and all those things that you told me if I had a black bag full of cash.
Right. If you, if there was also an NIL for student journalists, for sure, you know, I'd have got a Northwestern in a heartbeat, despite all my fond memories of the Burton. I would have been there to be on the Daily Northwestern or whatever the newspaper there is called for my junior year if the money was right. So that's just the way I look at it, is that, you know, on one level, it's impure. On one level, it's not anything close to what we remember, you know, over the first 100 years of bottom entry basketball or college basketball in general in the last 100 years. But that's, you know, you can spend time wallowing in that, or you can just accept the reality. And look, if you're not going to accept the reality, then, you know what? Maybe you have to go to Division II, Division III. And there's no nobility in staying in Division I if you're not going to be committed to Division I and play by their rules. And so, we'll see what that means for Bonaventure and for, you know, 100 other schools over the course of the next 10 years when we see what the long range effect of NIL and the transfer portal really is.
I would hate that if they drop levels. I would rather.
Well, hold on, don't get me wrong. I don't want that to happen. I'm just saying that I think that there are some hard questions at a lot of schools.
Right.
Not just Bonaventure, but Canisius and, you know, Lemoyne, you know, who's been in Division I for 15 minutes. And everybody's going to have to answer about what it means to stay as a Division I basketball team. Look, not everybody can play Division I football. You know, that became something that was way too expensive for all but about 70 universities in this country. Sure. You know, and, you know, for the longest time, basketball was able to hold out because it was a school where a place like Bonaventure or Lemoyne or Fairfield or Siena could easily compete. And it's just not that way anymore. And now you got to figure out what you want to be.
Yeah, I hear you. It would crush me if they went down levels, but I would, as much as I love the A-10, it would almost be easier to accept a conference shift than it would be to go down in levels as far as that's concerned. I remember fielding, I'll let you go in a few seconds, but I wanted to tell you this. I remember fielding a bunch of calls hosting radio years ago in Syracuse, and people used to call it, I can't believe this guy's leaving for the pros. I'm canceling my season tickets. I don't have a relationship with this person. I'm never going to be able to connect with a player like a Derek Coleman or a Sherman Douglas again. Michael Carter Williams is going to the NBA, blah, blah, blah. And I said, do you realize, dude, that this person just helped your program, your favorite team, to the Final Four? That seems laughable now. Players going to the NBA in the one-and-done level, the personal connection for a fan. Are you kidding me? That sounds laughable compared to what we deal with in today's free agency world. I just laugh at that kind of stuff. Mike Vaccaro, New York Post, you're the best. NYPost.com, and go get him on Twitter as well, at Mike Vac. That's at Mike Vacc. It's great catching up with you, man. Keep up the amazing work. You know, I think the world of you.
Same here, Mike. Keep it up, and we'll talk soon. And maybe one of these days our dogs can go to a dog park and frolic. It seems like they might like that. They seem to like each other.
Businesses are targeted by cyber criminals every day. Data breaches happen even in the most protected environments. Cyber insurance from CH protects your company from data loss, litigation, and other penalties. CH Insurance helps businesses comply with electronic data regulation and losses you may suffer in cyber attacks. Trust the CH team to protect your business from hackers. CH Insurance, in your corner, every day, every way.